On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Going, everybody. Tall Can Sports 112. Rob over there.
Hey.
And I'm over here. Yeah.
Look at that guy.
Look at that guy. Drinking beer and whatnot.
Carrying on like a douchebag.
That's what I do, man.
That's what douchebags do.
Carry on like douchebags. Tall Can Sports 112. Couple things to get to, but I did want to tee up, in case you missed it, Tall Can Sports 111. www.tallcanaudio.com. You'll find it over there, no problem, or in the archives on your favorite podcast application. We had Mark Warner, the Vegas Hockey Pod, on for the second time. Many of you, before our Q&A show on Tall Can Sports 110, had a couple of Vegas questions, and a couple other users just asked, you know, in a general sense, we're going to have one of those guys back on. And Mark joined us, did a great job. Managed to even sneak in some Leaf talk, which I'm always a fan of.
Boo. Fuck, man. What are you doing down
Boo.
There?
Boo.
Less masturbating.
Never. so we get to, yeah, we talked about kind of the coaching carousel in the NHL and where that might leave, you know, Vegas, what they might be looking for. You see a guy like Ken Hitchcock get fired and you go, might make sense, right? One of the best coaches of all time. And
well, you guys got,
Mark had a pretty good reason why that's not the guy, right?
Like, yeah, well, anyways, listen to it, folks.
Yeah.
You can disagree or you can agree.
Tall Can Sports 111, Mark Warner, the Vegas Hockey Pod. And you can check them out on Twitter at Vegas Hockey Pod or just visit VegasHockeyPodcast.com and check them out.
Hey, and once you listen to the show, people, come back. Give feedback. What do you think of that? Because you know what? Everybody has a take on that.
Honestly, yeah.
On the coaching situation and the potential coaching situation
in Vegas.
And
some of the goalies that are he thinks are going to be available. And he's studied these potential.
Well, that's what he's doing. A
right.
hockey fan in. And really, it's a dream. Now, you know what? He's going to be disappointed. Nature of the beast, right?
Well, yeah. But he's, like, they're doing good work down there. He's had George McPhee on the show.
No. I'm not talking about Mark himself. I'm talking
sure.
about Vegas fans,
and what they're
right?
going to end up getting right. by the time teams figure out how to hide guys.
You do. Yeah, you have this whole idea of what's going to and we're all living it, too, because everybody has our own favorite teams that have to expose.
Right.
And you have to.
Can the Leafs get them to take Joffrey Leupold? Can the Sens get them to take Dion Phaneuf? Right.
Right. Like these or is it going to be Mark Mathot?
No.
You know, you expose Bobby Ryan. What are you going to do?
Right. So it really is interesting, and he's obviously put a ton of work into looking at the different ways that this could go. And so it was really interesting to have him back on the show. Like I said, many of you asked for it. So Tall Can Sports 111, if you haven't checked it out yet, you can absolutely do that. Like I said, TallCanAudio.com. Check them out at VegasHockeyPodcast.com.
Give it a listen.
Yeah, very good. We had a couple things here we wanted to cover. I figure it makes the most sense to start at the Super Bowl, as that's the most direct thing behind us. We're not going to spend, I don't think, a ton of time on it.
Breaking it down.
you and I both discussed on Tall Can Sports 110. We had a question, I think it was Kyle in Boston, who asked
why we don't cover more NFL.
Right. But everyone watches the Super Bowl. This appears to be no different, as the early ratings suggest that it was really well done. Let's start.
First Super Bowl that I watched, for the most part, I missed maybe the most of the first quarter. I saw the anthems, and I saw George Bush Sr. come out.
H.W.
Looked like he was in the sidecar there for a while. I wasn't sure what was going on there, but it turns out he's in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
I watched it right to the end because clearly it was compelling enough to keep me around.
I said openly on the TCA
that he loves men.
Twitter feeds. Everybody knows that. And on our Facebook page, there was something about this Super Bowl that wasn't doing it for me. I just wasn't that interested going in. And by the end of it...
Well, because I thought that the Patriots were going to railroad the Falcons. That's how I saw this.
Going in, like, 2 weeks ago, when we went to the conference finals, divisional finals, whatever the fuck the NFL calls it, right? I was more interested in the Steelers. I was more interested in the Packers.
Yeah.
And nobody got there, right? And so you kind of go,
Yeah, okay, but you were interested in the Steelers because...
I don't really have a good... It was something different.
You hate the Patriots.
Well, that, yeah.
Why do you hate the Patriots?
Everyone hates a winner.
Yeah, okay. Is that the only reason?
Yeah.
Okay, and you know what? As you said before, we're not going to break down play by play.
Right.
I got some intro... Well, okay. I got some thoughts.
I got some things I think are interesting.
Yeah, exactly. As soon as it hatched in my head, I'm like, fuck, there's no guarantee anybody else is going to find it interesting.
That's what we do here.
Is you know what? I think if you don't have an absolute rooting interest, if you don't have an NFL team, the strongest thing that drives a sports fan is hate for another team.
Right.
And to me, you can't take away Brady's success. Like, honestly, nobody, what he and Belichick have done, right? And there's a reason why Brady's the only guy with 5 rings.
Right.
That there's been that much turnover. You look at their wide receivers. You look at that whole team has been turned over.
3 of those rings are legitimate.
Okay. Yeah. You keep saying that, and you're gonna have to answer for that somewhere.
Nope.
It's my show. I'm not answering for shit.
Deflate gate and cameras. Yeah,
you cannot take away what they've done. So that's not what this is about, right?
No.
The comeback and all that stuff. To me, it's the fan base that I hate. To me, it is chock full of Johnny come lately bandwagon jumping mofos.
Right. And you don't spend as much time on social media as I do, which is probably good for your mental health.
Okay, but the other day you and I were in the same sitting. We were sitting in the same place and you know, we threw it out, hey, a Super Bowl, you know, and one guy chimed in and said, "Oh, I'm the Patriots." And I'm like, "Yeah, are you a Patriots fan?" "Yeah." "Huh?" And I'm like, "Okay, how many Patriots can you name?"
Right.
And he's like, "Well,
I got 2.
Outside of Brady?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Of course outside of Brady, you right. fuckhead." And he's like, "Oh, Gronk? What's his first name?
And his last name. I can't let you just have a syllable."
Okay, this is it, right? And so I'm like, "Ah, see, you're one of those fuckheads."
Right. So... And I got – everybody's got these people on social media. I got a guy on Facebook that I haven't seen literally post a single NFL note all year long. And all of a sudden, once the Patriots come back and win, yeah, Tom Brady best ever and Pats are the best. Hey, where you been, John? Look, I got time. Honestly, I do for people who – are douchebag Patriot fans.
Yeah.
Because at least you're married to it,
give me somebody who shows up with the, you know, the
Drew Bledsoe jersey.
Or the Tony Eason jerseys.
Right.
You know, or the Tony Collins jerseys. Give me some of those 80s.
I got another guy on Facebook who's at the
Steve
end.
Steve Grogan.
Midway through the second quarter, this fucking team, I knew they weren't hard enough, and they're fucked. I'm done with this. And he's the same guy in the fourth quarter. Here we fucking go. Hey, are you in or out, man?
Yeah.
Like you've. So, the Patriots might be. Man, I don't know how you compare it. I'm not enough of an NFL expert, The Patriots might be, what, the best team in 20, 30 years in terms of overall always being in the mix, always being there.
Seven appearances in the Super Bowl in 16 years?
Right.
I think it's something of 15.
Right.
But man, that's one of every 2 years.
What was the first one, 02?
01.
01?
01 or 02, yeah. It's one of those two.
Right. Against the greatest show on turf, right? And everyone was super excited about that St. Louis team. That was Kurt Warner.
They win their back-to-back.
Marshall Faulk, I think.
Yep.
And
the greatest show. It's so gay now to hear me. But you know what?
That's not a PC way.
Okay, well, I don't care about that.
Yeah, okay.
I don't care about that. It's and to me, I don't have. I've never had an NFL team that I root for
ever.
Ever.
Okay.
Right. But to me, I want to see points. So and I clearly, I enjoyed watching those Rams teams.
Well, let me start here. And it's not starting because we've both rambled on about why the Patriots fans suck for a while. There's some people out there calling this the best Super Bowl ever. And Joe Buck is one of them. There's a guy in the media.
Joe Buck. You know what? I got a lot of respect for Joe Buck and his.
There's a lot of people who hate Joe
Buck. And he's talented and he's multi-sport.
I thought the call on that final play was really good. He drops back and it's kind of, and he's in. The Patriots went like, and
I left.
It's a hard job.
I left as soon as the, honestly.
Went to overtime?
As soon as they won the toss,
yeah.
I had to cover the barbecue and shit.
We're going to cover that in a second. But Joe Buck also said this is the best Super Bowl he's ever covered. Or no, he says this is the best game I've ever covered. And to me,
hyperbole, Joe.
Right, and we have this thing where it's a recency bias, right? Where this is right now, and it seems amazing, and. I had a bit of a debate going on Twitter, because that's what Twitter does, is argue on, is this the best game ever? And Patriots fans are, of course, saying, yes, of course it is, and jumping up. You won. And so we all get that. That doesn't necessarily, it's clearly the biggest comeback ever in a Super Bowl. It's clearly the most dominant second half in Super Bowl history. The Patriots are full value for the win, but the best game ever is a very different question, right? Like, how do you get to a point where, like, how do you define, really, one team was completely outplayed, completely asleep in the first half, and then the other team is completely outplayed and completely asleep in the second half? I don't know how you say that's the best game ever. I don't really have a great Steelers-Cardinals a few years back, maybe 2009. I can't remember what
you... But what you're saying is what you saw last night was two separate games
right.
in one game.
Unbelievable comeback. And again, Patriots fans want to take this personally, and that's not what this is about. It's not an attack. It's...
Don't worry about it. In a couple of years, you'll be on to being Falcon fans right. or whoever's winning it at that time. Don't worry about it, people.
It's maybe the best... And probably the best comeback ever. But to say that's the best game ever, man, that's tough, right? Or the best Super Bowl ever. That's tough.
And you know what?
Giants-Patriots game was – Patriots fans will never give you anything on that because they lost it, right? But that was an exciting game back and forth right to the end. I don't know. A game where one team is asleep in the first half and the other team's asleep in the second half.
To me – I tune back in and the Falcons score their second touchdown and it's now 14-0 and already Buck and Aikman are talking about no team has ever come back from 14-0 in a Super Bowl, you know, three different teams from 10-0 down. And I'm like, fuck it. I don't care what anybody else has done in the past.
Yeah.
This is only 14 points.
Right.
You have a top three offense and a top three defense on the same team in the Patriots.
Yep. And maybe the best quarterback ever.
Right. And on the other side, you have top-ranked offense, but you have the 27th-ranked right. defense or right. whatever it was. And so to me, I'm like, you know what? I get it. In some, you know, there's been some blowout Super Bowls.
Sure.
This did not have the makings of that. And to me, as soon as I heard that, honestly, it drives me right into the FIFA mode, right? Where you're like... And you know what? I'm certainly not suggesting that it was fixed.
No.
I am not.
No.
But you look at, to me, it was just, I was like, yeah, that's going to happen. And even at 28-3, there was nothing.
Right. And you can check our Twitter feeds at Tall Can Audio, at Tall Can Sports. We said, hey, halftime, it's 21-0 or whatever it was, 21-3. This isn't over.
No.
It's not over.
Hey,
maybe 28-3.
A touchdown early, though. Puts it the other way.
Right, because the Falcons are starting the second half with the ball. They could have ended the game.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? Everything else aside, and you can tune into smarter people than you and I to break this down.
I don't know.
It comes down to
more interesting
the people. Falcons and their inability to move the ball.
Yep.
And if you look at Dan Quinn and his whole affiliation with the Seahawks and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the idea that I don't care what his job was there. I'm just talking about an affiliation.
Yep.
Right? That whole idea of throwing the ball off of the 1 yard line.
Right.
And then it being intercepted. To me, I look at that 3rd-and-1 that the Falcons had on the 25 or whatever it was. You're well within field goal range.
Right.
Okay. 3rd-and-1. You know what? I've never even coached Pop Warner football, but I'm saying to myself at that time and at that score, you're fucking running that ball.
Of course you are.
Why are you even contemplating throwing the ball? Oh, and then Freeman misses the block. Yeah. You're throwing, Freeman misses the block. Oh, and then Ryan, who has been holding on to a football for his entire life, you know, oh, the ball is on the ground.
No, the Falcons are
like, to me, that's a bullshit play call. Why are you throwing the ball there?
And so you get to a point where we always get to in some of these big championships games, did the Patriots win it or did the Falcons lose it? And there's no that all depends on what kind of perspective you have on it. And we're going to shortly here morph into another topic where that's very much the case where it's all about perspective.
And I just want to I'm not done with the Patriot fan base. To me, really. You know what? When I was...
The Festivus thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Airing of grievances. The
airing of grievances.
A lot of problems with you people.
Honestly, because you know what? When I was 7, living in the Ottawa area, huge Habs fan, okay?
Douche!
Yeah, they were winning. Man, they were winning.
Of course
they Savard, were. Savard, Lapointe, Lemaire, Robinson, Dryden, Schutt, LaFleur. I'm 7. I'm 7.
And a douchebag already.
Okay, and clearly. All right. So their day comes to an end. Rob immediately morphs over. I'm an Islanders fan. Oh, I love Billy Smith.
I've always loved
Bossy, Strache, Gillies, you know.
Sure.
I'm 8. I'm 9. I'm 10. I'm a front runner. That's how it is. Right? But I went from that when I get to be in my, in my early teens.
Right.
And I start to have some idea of myself as a hockey fan. I become a Detroit Red Wings fan.
Right.
Right. Family affiliation, all that sort of stuff, but they sucked. They sucked, and I took them on as my team.
Right.
You had a goaltending tandem of Corrado Mikalev and Vaclav Nedimansky, right? Like,
where's Tim Cheveldae?
That's much later, man. Later.
I know.
You know, Reed Larson and Danny Gare and John O'Grodnik, Dale McCourt. Like, you're talking. This is the team that I took on as my team,
right?
And it goes through the whole progression of then the Yzerman comes in, and you got the Gallant and the Koshers and the Proberts, and then the Cheveldays, and as it moves forward to the mid-90s team that I don't recognize as my Wings team anymore, right? Shanahan and Hull and Robitaille, and now Fedorov was our draft pick, right? But to me, I had moved to Ottawa by that point, but man, I spent my formative years supporting my
team. Front-running douchebag.
No. My formative years through my teens and into my early 20s, supporting my team that sucked. The only thing that was keeping the Leafs out of the Norris Division basement in those days was the Wings. We sucked worse than you. Honestly.
I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah. You're better than the Wings.
That's not many people say that these days.
Okay, well, and so to me, yeah, by the time Yzerman hoisted that cup in 97, right?
Yep.
I had, honestly, well, I'd even kind of moved over to the Senators, who were terrible in the early 90s as well, right? But I'd laid a foundation of support, and I'd put a lot of hope and dreams. Man, they got to a point with the Yzerman, Gallant.
Wait.
Where they were winning that Norris division, which was a crappy division,
yeah,
and getting slaughtered by whoever came out of the Smythe, right? Whether it was Calgary or Edmonton, right? So to me, yeah, when you become an adult, you have to support. You stick with your team that you build. You build through it. You don't jump bandwagons like a 7-year-old.
And that's fuckers. What you're suggesting all Patriots fans have done?
I'm suggesting 70% of Patriots
70%,
fans.
70%? That's a huge number.
I'm suggesting that maybe 5% of you outside of the greater Boston,
Foxborough
area.
Yeah.
You have 5% of you, I'm giving free passes. The rest of you, front runners.
Take that, man.
Bills fans.
Fucking Bills, too.
Yeah, see that? All you guys. Any local people here? Nobody here is a traditional Patriots fan. Nobody in this area. Nobody.
In this area being Canada.
Okay, Eastern Ontario, Central Ontario. This is not traditional Patriots country. And we see those hats and shit everywhere.
Yeah.
I hate you people.
I hate you.
Okay. Anyways, that's all I got
to
say.
You go to hell. You go to hell and you die. Yes. Let's move on.
I'm going
to
wipe my shoes on you.
Let's move into, and I don't remember if this stemmed from
of course
the
it
game.
Did.
We're going to talk a little hockey here, and you sent me an email today that I didn't really have a ton of time to research, but I had a couple thoughts of my own on all-time chokes versus comebacks.
Well, it wasn't a hockey one.
Just in general.
Just
right?
In general. I'm looking at comebacks versus chokes.
And to me, what I immediately responded to you with was, depends who you are, right? Like, was it an all-time fantastic Patriots comeback
course,
on Monday or
course.
On Sunday?
It's the intimate correlation between a comeback and a choke.
As a Patriots fan, right? Or as a Falcons fan, was it one of the all-time great chokes?
To me, the Falcons choked. You couldn't move the ball in the second half at all.
Come on, man. Lots of teams blow 25-point leads in the second half of the Super Bowl.
Clearly.
that happens,
yeah,
right?
To me, that's a choke.
So, you suggested maybe we kick this around a bit. Maybe we come up with some. The first thing that comes to mind to me, and there's a few of them that I want to get your take on, but let me start here. 2003, Yankees, Red Sox.
04.
Yes. 2004, Yankees, Red Sox. Yankees up 3-0 on the
hapless.
I was going to say hapless, but they were pretty decent. Obviously, they made the playoffs. But perennially disappointed, right? Underachieving, cursed Boston Red Sox. Is that a choke or is that a historic comeback? To me, again, it probably depends on the fan base, but to me, as a fan of neither of those teams, that's a comeback. That's you're down and out to a billion-dollar team, the greatest closer of all time. And to me, I don't even remember what game it is. Maybe game 6?
How about 2010 Flyers-Bruins?
Yeah.
Is that the same to you?
No.
And I think the Flyers were down in game 4, too.
Yeah. 3-0.
Yeah.
In the game and in the series.
Yeah.
To me, it's a matter of degree because to me, like the obvious one, everyone will want to point and laugh at me for – people point and laugh at me for a lot of things. But the Leafs-Bruins 2013 4-1.
I need to get a pass on that, thanks.
No, you won't. he's always pointing and laughing at me.
Yeah, that's what makes it – come on.
But it's first round, right?
And what happens
and same thing in this Philly-Bruins – it's painful for the fan base that
the
happens,
Leafs came
to.
Back from 3-down, I believe, in that series.
3-1 down.
3-1 down.
Yeah.
And we're up 4-0 in the game
right.
7.
But it's first round.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a couple of teams that neither of them are going to win anything in that year. Like, to me, those aren't historic It's historic as a Leaf fan, but okay. It's not. Same thing with this Flyers-Bruins one that you're bringing up.
I think the team that gives up, whether it's the Yankees or it's the Bruins, in those two instances we're talking about, the 2010 versus the 04.
Right.
To me, if you are up 3-0 in a best of seven, you have choked away.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you have to be able to win 1 out of 4 at that point, right? Like, what do you think?
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, 1972, going home to Russia, the Russians have gone 2-1-1.
Yep.
Going home.
They were supposed to go 0-4.
Right. Is that a choke or a great Canadian, as a couple Canadian guys? That's gritty Canadian comeback and all these sorts of things.
Man, I look at that as, I don't look at that as a comeback or a choke, man. I look at that as a struggle, a titanic struggle, okay. Really.
Yeah.
Well, 2-1-1 going home.
Yeah, and you're right. It's not
in a best of eight.
Hey, the Russians will still tell you they won that, eh? In an 8-game series, it's total goals because it's an even number of games. And
yeah. Okay. Well, they do a bunch of shit different, right? We used to go over there for tournaments and they'd have no playoffs. It was just round robin.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, hey, well, that's how it is. It was to suck it. Round robin's just to separate the wheat from the chaff. That's all that is.
Right.
Don't give me that shit.
That shit.
Russians.
You know what, man? It's an interesting conversation when you start to... Yeah, go ahead. No, hit me.
Because honestly, I
had I'm not winding it down, believe me.
Okay, good. Because I thought maybe you were you were going to start giving me the Heisman there.
Nope.
I looked at how about... I want to say it was 93, and I'm speaking off of through the mists of time. Pacers-Knicks playoffs.
Yeah, okay. I have no recollection.
Reggie Miller scoring...
If it's not a David Robinson.
8 points.
Eight.
In 11 seconds.
Oh, that's pretty good.
At the end of the game, to beat the Knicks, it was game one of the Eastern Conference Final, I think. I think that was the same day as the OJ.
Wait, what year did you say?
93, 94.
Yeah,
what
okay,
is it?
No, OJ was the fall of 95. Yep.
Okay. Anyways, that was the whole Spike Lee.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Knicks are up by 8 with 11 seconds to go in the game, and Reggie Miller scores all those points to bring the Pacers back and win that game. To me, that's a huge comeback.
That's a huge...
That's a huge bitch.
So these are, you know, I don't want to spend a ton of time on them, but I think in every instance you can make a case here or whatever. Let me start with the Olympic hockey tournament. In 98, did Canada choke?
Yep.
Yeah, see, I don't think so.
All right.
Well. I think they had an okay round robin and lost their semifinal to an unbeatable goalie.
You can be wrong or you can agree with me.
So, 0-2. Did Sweden choke against Belarus in the semifinal? They had dominated the round robin, smashed Canada in the first game of the tournament.
Choking.
Did they choke? Or did Belarus... these aren't comebacks necessarily, but did they...
I think I'll leave it to Swedish newspapers who, as somebody who was in Sweden at the time...
Really?
Yeah. No. Headlines in the Swedish papers say, choking. That was the actual... That was
choking.
Choking. That was... And I think there was a J in there.
Of course. Why wouldn't there be?
Yeah. Choking. Yeah. That's how they saw it. How can I... I'll defer to the Swedes on that.
2006, did Canada choke or was that a bad team?
That's a bad team, and I can't even remember the exact...
Todd Bertuzzi's on that.
Wade Redden's on it.
Wade Redden's on it. That's 2010, Russia.
Blasted the Russians.
Russia. Did they choke or were they beaten by a way better team?
Well, 7-3 in that quarter, right? Yep. I think that was a score, 7-3. Yep. I just think they got steamrolled. They still put up 3 goals.
2014, did Russia choke?
I think, yeah, right. To me...
That was a low-scoring tournament. Like, it was a... But to me, when I look through those, I kind of look at a... There's a lot of things that were supposed to happen at each of those Olympics that didn't happen every single time, right? Like...
Okay, and I think...
That 2006, Canada loses in the quarterfinals, but to Russia. And you go, if you Canada losing the quarterfinal, that's a choke, but it's to the Russians 2-0.
But you know what?
I
still think that that's a poorly built team.
Yeah, it was. But if you say Canada is going to lose in the quarterfinals of the Olympics.
And they're sort of built off the backbone of 04 and 02.
Yep. Still right? Pat Quinn.
You're still trying to roll Hitchcock and Martin, I think. Yep. Right?
Yeah, it was the exact same thing. And we're coming off the lockout and go, we'll just go with whatever we had in 04.
Right. And now I think it's only fair. I was going to say at every angle, and I totally forgot that we had lost to Russia in the quarters there.
Yeah, in 06.
Yeah, in 06.
Yeah.
Because to me, I always paint Russia with the choker brush.
Oh, but this time it was us.
Well, this is it, and I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Conveniently.
Shut out by Nabokov in the quarterfinals.
Clearly. Because they were resting Habib Boulin.
Andre Trefilov.
Yeah, so clearly to me that's unfair.
It was just as I went through the Olympic tournaments and it's hard to justify comebacks and, you know, what's what. But to me, every Olympic hockey tournament has had something where you go, what, really? Right?
Like, yeah, I think the Swedes losing to Belarus, you know, especially with that slapper off the head of
Tommy Salo.
I was going to say Soderstrom.
Tommy Soderstrom. Yeah, he was still around, I think, at that time.
Well, and Soderstrom, I think, was in net in the 87.
Yeah, okay. Could be.
Or no, was maybe not 91 Canada Cup. Steve Larmer
played for the Islanders.
Wearing that big cage.
He had the big,
and honestly, Larmer steps in.
Clap.
Big clapper.
Half clapper, top shedder.
Yeah, dance the cage. No. Tommy Soderstrom. Things I think I remember.
Swedish goalie's named Tommy. Stop it.
Albelin.
Tommy Albelin. Maybe it's Albelin.
Defenseman for
Jersey, the Devils, I think. All right. Do either of us have any more great comebacks or chokes?
Yeah. How about the Bills over the Houston Oilers?
Under the Houston Oilers?
Under the Houston Oilers?
Well, I'm more familiar with the Bills choking than winning.
The Bills, that would have been, they were losing. This is the 93, I want to say, AFC championship game.
All right. So we're not in the Super Bowl.
No. But this was to put the Bills into the Super Bowl to lose to the Cowboys.
Sure.
Right? But it was 28-3 Houston at the half.
Okay. I don't obviously remember this.
So to me, that's got a direct correlation to what happened yesterday. Exact same score, 28-3, I believe, at one point.
Yep.
So Bills already done it. Don't worry about it.
Bills suck.
Hey, so off the Bills suck. For sure they do.
Fuck the Bills.
And you know what? The backbone of the Patriots fan base.
Former Bills fans. I've said it before, man.
And I'll say it again. Fuck Andy Garcia.
I wasn't going to. But yeah, fuck him. That's as a guy
if
who grew up just outside Toronto. Yeah, I know. I'm with you.
I know you.
Listening to the Fan 590, Rogers owned, and hey, the Bills, I guess they're close to us. They should be our team. Go fuck yourself. Hey, the worst franchise in the league, arguably, is the one geographically closest. It's in another country.
Well, I figured if you've already thrown your support behind the worst NHL franchise, why would you not just find kinship across the border?
Boo.
That take is solid.
No, that take is soft. Soft.
Okay.
Like an 18-inch sub poo.
Yeah. Bready.
Yeah. It's just bready.
No, to me, that's solid.
No.
They're saying, look at these fucking suckers eating from the trough of stupidity.
You're hurting my feelings.
They'll suck this up like nobody's business. Like government cheese.
Powdered milk and government cheese.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm street, like powdered milk. Anyway.
Yeah, look at you.
Yeah. No, it's – I'm totally lost on whatever point I was going to make. It was going to be irrelevant.
Rogers and forcing the Bills down your pie holes.
Yeah, we've covered that before. But just
– all that stuff.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's just – it's one of those things where the Bills, I guess, were good from, what, 90 – 91, 92.
Yeah, 91, 92 through, yeah, you know, with the Bruce Smith,
or, yeah,
Thurman Busta Move Thomas.
In 2010, stop trying to sell me the Bills as in any other place in the world. If you said, hey, do you want to cheer for this other, for still a team not, in this other country?
Still not Super Bowl winners ever.
No.
Ever.
Ever.
Ever. And you know what?
It's like the Blues.
Yeah.
The Blues have the same length of Stanley Cups.
I'm singing the Blues. Hey.
St. Louis Blues have the same Stanley Cup streak that the Maple Leafs have, but the Maple Leafs have won 13 before that, so we're calling that a win.
Look at you guys go.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So now tell me something.
Oh, with I'll Brady's, tell you a lot
with,
of things.
With Brady's fifth last night.
Yeah.
Can you name who has any other quarterbacks with, we'll say, more than three? How about that?
Troy Aikman.
Troy Aikman has three. Two quarterbacks have four.
Yeah, you know what?
Come on, man. Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
TB12, the first TB12.
Yeah, but that's all I've got.
Okay, well, can you think of another dynasty? Yes, you can, and I'm going to put you on the spot because I know you can get this.
Yeah, I don't, though. I don't got it.
San Francisco.
Yeah, no, I...
Joe Montana.
Okay, had no idea you'd won four.
Yeah.
Nope.
Honestly, there's a plethora of guys with two. Honestly, Roger Staubach, Brent Starr, Bart Starr.
Yeah.
Right? Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, John Elway.
Eli Manning does not have four.
Two, man. Two. Follow the conversation here.
No, allow
here.
Me to get outraged. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said. It was 8 minutes, John three, Elway, and then there was a bunch of two, right?
Okay, John Elway.
Jim Plunkett.
Plunkett.
How about that?
Was that not a kid's game where you like put a bunch of marbles on some straws sticking through things?
I can think of Price is Right Plinko.
No, it's like, oh, it was called Kerplunk.
And I think you're confusing it with fuck it. Ah, oh, fuck it.
Hashtag go Leafs go.
Yes. 40 years of futility.
Oh, that's generous. Only 40?
That's true, man. We're coming up on 50.
This year.
We're right there, baby.
We have to win this year.
Happy birthday to you, mofo.
Mr. President. Yeah, no, you know what? It's I'm lost.
Yeah, I'm gapping. I'm gapping over here. That's okay. It doesn't matter.
Gapping or gaping?
Yeah. Fisting, whatever. And the repercussions of such a lifestyle. Oh, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, dear. This one's off the rails, man. Didn't we have some real stuff to talk about at some point or no?
No, I think we've pretty much covered what I have vented. I am feeling better.
Yeah.
I've had a little
essentially fuck you Patriots fan.
A little TCS therapy right here. I've a couple beers.
Yeah.
Little anger management. Man, I'm feeling better.
You could use that. Yeah.
I'm feeling better. And as I said, to bring this show full circle.
Right.
Right. If you don't have a rooting support.
So can you not cheer for...
Hate is strong. Have you ever sat down on a championship game or a series, right? Baseball, whatever it is. And you go, I don't really care about either one of these teams. And then as soon as you start watching, your mind and your heart decide, I'm cheering for this team.
Yeah, but it's almost always the loser. Like the not the team that ends up losing, but the team
even
who
before,
immediately
even
falls
before,
behind.
You just really is that what it
no,
is?
No. If I don't care,
well, to me it's
I
always
see something.
To
big.
Me, it's always like that guy's a douche. I never liked that guy.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
That guy's a former Leaf, or that guy's whatever, and you sort of go whatever it is. Right? There's something that makes you.
Yeah, you can find a rooting interest,
but I think you go. I want to cheer for blank, and then you sit down and you watch it, and then your heart tells you.
Yeah.
I don't like those guys.
I've never liked the Patriots, right? And that's what this was.
Okay. Well,
I don't give a – I could not possibly care less about the Atlanta Falcons.
No, I don't think anybody could. I don't even think people in the greater Atlanta area give a shit.
Cobb County, whatever.
Well, Fulton County.
Cobb County's right there. Marietta, Georgia.
Hey, isn't that where Big Boss Man's from?
Of course it is.
Of course.
It's what I got, man.
Hey, so now tell me something. Did you watch that part in the Super Bowl where they're going through the two sort of municipal areas, the Boston area versus the Atlantic area in terms of championships in the four major sports?
Oh, man. See, the Braves really let them down.
The Braves are the only one holding up anything. They're the only one.
How many years in a row did they win the NL East?
Nine. I want to say nine out of ten years.
One or two.
Okay,
titles.
But they're the only ones to have won. There's been nothing in the NFL.
Let's go, Thrashers.
Nothing in hockey. Nothing in basketball.
The Hawks aren't perennials. Yeah.
So, whereas I think it was 37 in the same time period for Boston.
Okay. What I saw was, for Boston, 10 titles in the last 15 years.
Okay.
Five Patriots, right? You got one
Bruins,
one
Red
NHL,
Sox.
Three Red Sox, one NHL, one NBA.
The Red Sox have won three World Series since 2004?
Yep.
Fuck those guys, too.
Yeah, fuck them for sure.
Man. For sure.
Yeah.
But I'll cheer for the Red Sox over the Yankees.
Yeah, see, that's funny. I'm going to take the opposite on that. There's something about Boston. I hate Boston. Any of their teams, I don't want to cheer for either of them, but I'll take the Yanks over the Red Sox.
It's because of your Macedonian heritage. You don't have any.
For those of you who it's an audio show, I stare blankly off to the side. Yeah. Calls me Macedonian.
You look good. What the fuck? How about Albanian? You and Abdullah the Butcher. I'll give you a little Maple Leaf wrestling round.
Okay, we gotta end this shit. Good night from Macedonia.
See ya.
Talk Head Sports.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.